in the opening words of Acts of the Apostles, Luke, who is a writer of the Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles, speaks about a man called Theophilus. We do not know who Theophilus was. He was probably a Roman official, quite an important man, and he was interested in the Gospel and about Jesus. Luke, in his Gospel, writes to Theophilus and tells him all about what Jesus did. And now in the Acts of the Apostles, he also writes to Theophilus to tell him what happened after the resurrection and what happened when the Gospel was preached more widely. The chapter climaxes with the Ascension of Christ. Ascension Day officially was Thursday, and it's a day that we have noted when we begin to pray for thy kingdom come, all the days leading up to Pentecost. Just listen again to the event of the Ascension, verse 9. After this, he said, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way as you have seen him go into heaven. In the Ascension, Jesus was preparing the way for the next stage of God's plan for the world. Jesus came from the Father, lived on earth in his bodily presence, was crucified on a cross, raised again, appeared to a number of his disciples in his risen form. But now at this point, ascended into heaven because he was preparing the way for the next stage of God's great plan for this world of ours. Members may remember that Jean and I had quite a long journey back in April to the Midlands and the North, visiting friends that we don't normally see, exchanging Christmas letters, but never actually seeing them. And it was a joy to go to all these different people, Newcastle-under-Lyme, York, Birmingham, all the way round. 795 miles it clocked up. We saw everyone apart from one. But the point I want to make is that before we went, it required a lot of preparation. We had to make sure that all the people were going to be there on the day when we would be in their location. We had to take their addresses and phone numbers and postcodes and make sure we could find our way to their addresses. We had to find the routes we were going to do. We had to make preparation for the things we needed and the hotels we wanted to stay in. It required preparation. When Jesus ascended, he was preparing the way for the next stage in God's mighty work of redeeming this lost world. And there are three ways in which he was preparing. First of all, he was preparing for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was ascending to prepare the way for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Christians may differ a little bit about the terminology about being baptized with the Holy Spirit, but I want to say three things which I believe are essential about the work of the Holy Spirit. First of all, when you believe in Jesus, it is absolutely essential that you receive the Holy Spirit into your life in order that you may have the assurance of your faith. Now, this is a very simple truth, But there might be one or two people here this morning who truly believe in Jesus Christ, but have never actually received the Holy Spirit into their lives. And you lack the assurance which the Holy Spirit gives. And it may be you would like to speak with one of us at the end of the service about this great need that we all have when we believe in Jesus Christ. The second simple truth about the work of the Holy Spirit is that once we have received the Spirit, we need to be filled with the Spirit, not once, not twice, not three times, but many times during our lives. In Ephesians 5:18, we read, "Be filled with the Spirit," and there is a sense in the tense of that, that there is a continuity about being filled with the Spirit a number of times during our lives. It may be in a big meeting. It may be as a result of the response of the gospel that you're filled with the Spirit. But in one way or another, we need all to be filled with the Spirit as well as having initially received Him. And then the third aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit is for us to be able to serve God with the gifts that He gives to us. We serve God in different ways. We may serve with speaking gifts, we may serve with leading gifts, we may serve in serving gifts. And we must be careful not to disparage any single gift that God gives to us. To serve on a coffee morning on Thursday morning, to serve at seniors' lunch. After all, people come from our community and come to those events. And God uses the serving gift for us to be able to work as a church and to witness in this neighborhood. Absolutely vital that once we have received the Spirit, once we have been filled with the Spirit, we therefore need to go out into the world and to be used with the gifts that God gives to us. Don't disparage any gift, whatever it may be. Speaking, leading, serving. And it's interesting to notice, I don't know whether you've thought about this, but Jesus in His earthly life was confined geographically. Bodily, He ministered in Jerusalem and in Israel. He was confined to one part of the world. He couldn't possibly be everywhere in the world. But when He ascended, He was preparing for the coming of the Spirit, who could be everywhere. It's a simple thing to say, but you need to realize the enormity of it. The ministry of Jesus was not confined now to Israel only. The ministry of the Holy Spirit was worldwide. The Holy Spirit can be everywhere. In China, in Ghana, in Pakistan, in India, even in UK. And Jesus, when He ascended, prepared the way by giving the Spirit so that the work of the gospel could spread to all parts of the world. The second thing, it follows on from this. Jesus was preparing for the preaching of the gospel to the whole wide world, not only by giving of His Spirit, but sending out His disciples. It's interesting to notice that the disciples didn't really get it. We read in verse 6, they said, "When the disciples met together, they asked Him, 'Lord, are You at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?'" They still didn't get it. The disciples still thought in terms of the gospel is only for this particular land, God's chosen people here. And Peter took a long time for the penny to drop as well. When he was preaching the gospel, he suddenly had a call from a Roman centurion called Cornelius. And Cornelius said, "Come and speak to our family and our friends." And they were Roman soldiers and Roman citizens. And Peter couldn't quite believe that he could take the gospel outside of his own people, the people of Israel. And God had to let down a sheet with loads of animals, clean and unclean. And God said, eat, clean and unclean. Everyone is open to the gospel. And God didn't have to say it just once. Do you know, sometimes God has to say things two or three times before we take any notice. And three times God let down this sheet with all these animals, clean and unclean, and Peter had to say, God said to Peter, go and eat. Clean and unclean, it's all available. And the penny dropped, and Peter went to speak to Cornelius, and many of those Roman citizens became Christians that day. We read in the Gospels, in Matthew 28, all authority is given to me, said Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was ascending in order to prepare for the widespread message of the gospel. Preparation, not only to the people of Israel, but to them and to the whole wide world. God prepared by ascending so the Holy Spirit could come and so that the disciples could then go and preach the gospel. And the Apostle Paul went out, challenged by that vision on the road to Damascus in a blinding light. He was persecuting the Christians, but he was transformed and changed. And God sent him out to preach the good news of Jesus Christ in a widespread way. There's a third thing that Jesus was preparing outside this passage in particular, but I need to say it. Do you remember those words in John 14? Just listen to the first three verses. Preparation. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. Jesus, in his ascension, was preparing a place for us in heaven. I mean, just consider that phrase. Jesus said, I'm going, but I'm going to prepare a place for you. There's nothing airy-fairy about where we're going to be if we're Christians. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us already. It's sorted. There is a place waiting for us. We don't know the dimensions of it. We don't know how big the housing will be. We don't know what the amenities will be. But we do know that Jesus, the Son of God, has his Father's plan in hand and has already prepared a place for us, that when the time comes for us to go to be with the Lord, there'll be a place for us. It'll be sorted. It'll be prepared for us. In the service, we've been thinking about the message of these days, the importance of prayer, thy kingdom come. We desperately need God's kingdom to come in our land. We desperately need God's kingdom to come across this world. We need to pray as we've never prayed before for that kingdom to come. In a few moments' time, we're going to sing a song and it begins, Great is the Darkness. You probably know the song, how it goes on. But when I read those words, Great is the Darkness, I thought about our nation. Great is the darkness at the moment. Knife crime, drugs, county lines, corruption in high places, disagreement among the politicians, complete mess. Dark is the place that we're in at the moment. We desperately need to pray, Thy kingdom come. We don't know when God is going to work, but we know that He has plans laid out for us. We know that when He ascended, He was making it possible for the gospel to be preached all over the world. I'm encouraged sometimes when I read about the growth of the church in China. It could be 100 million people are Christians in that land. Other parts of the world, many, many people are becoming Christians. The kingdom of God is coming. What Jesus prepared for in ascending is taking place across the world. Oh, how we long for Thy kingdom to come in all its power in our own nation, that the darkness may be dispelled and that the good news of Jesus Christ might be heard and received in our own land, that the land with from top to bottom may be transformed and that our nation might be saved because Jesus ascended and made preparation for this. In a moment, we're going to sing that song, Great is the Darkness, and the prayer at the end, come Lord Jesus, and pour out your Spirit upon us today. I want to close there and to say it is open for people to come forward for prayer after the service. If you feel you haven't got that assurance as a person who's never really received the Spirit, or something else that troubles you and you'd like a word with one of us at the end of the service, one or two people will be at the front and able to pray with you. Oh God, our Father, we just thank you for the words of Jesus and how he prepared in all sorts of different ways for the coming kingdom. We thank you that by ascending into heaven, he made possible the spread of the gospel through all the world and gave us the power with which to do that work, power to come into our lives and to influence us and other people through us. And we thank you that he came to prepare not only for now, but for all eternity, to prepare a place for us. We just come to you in thankfulness and praise, and we come at the end of our service in our final song to pray with all our concerns that in the darkness that enshrines our land at the moment, we may see the light shining in and that the kingdom of God might begin to come with power with us, with our community, with our town, with our nation. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.